And his eye is on the sparrow, so we can ask him to give us this day our daily bread as we rely and trust on him and his provision. Thank you, Hope, for the song in your heart that you can share with us. Our scripture this morning is going to be shared and read by Ray Leach as he shares the word of God with us this morning. God bless you, Ray, and let's open our hearts to hear what God has to say to us this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Ray.
Ecclesiastes, the fifth chapter, verses 10 to the end of the chapter. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so does those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to the harm of the owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he will depart. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This, too, is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs, and what does he gain, since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during a few days of life that God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life, because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these few verses.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you once again for your word and for the privilege to be together. We thank you for your word given to us by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit from the pen of Solomon, your servant. From a man who had it all, had experienced it all, and yet had told us that so much of what he had gone through and experienced life was meaningless. Lord, we thank you that you show us, and you are the way to a life full of meaning. And as we have been discovering that together through the summer, we pray again, Lord, you will speak to us through these words, that you would take to us, Lord, and open to our heart and to our ears to receive from you this morning. For give glory and praise unto yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, and in his name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday afternoon, one of the members of our church family said to me, "I was pretty encouraged this morning. I thought for sure we were going to get that door open. I thought the way you started the sermon and the way you began it, I thought for sure we were going to get to see that door open this morning. And I felt optimistic. Especially when he pulled out that religion key, I thought, this is it. This is going to open the door." And then when the door didn't open, that person said, "I wonder if we're ever going to get that door open." Maybe you're feeling that way. we ever going to get this door open? Are we ever going to find out the secret, the path to a life full of meaning and purpose? God has it for us. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy life to the fullest and to the meaning. And that's his purpose for the reason why the book of Ecclesiastes was inspired and given to Solomon. So that we can learn through his example, through his experiences of all that he had gone through in life, how to get to that point of meaning and purpose. So we've tried a lot of different keys. And so far, the door still stays closed. So we're going to try another one this morning and see if this one will work. After all, the key that I hold in my hand is a key that a lot of people use to insert in this door to find a lot of meaning and purpose. In fact, we're told by many that it's this key that will give you a life of meaning and happiness and make you happier than anything else. And this key has the power to give you whatever your heart's desire. So surely that would make us happy. Surely that will bring purpose. So let's try it, Guy. I'll have you read it for everybody. Money. He's shaking his head no. You don't think it's going to work, Guy? Guy doesn't think it's going to work. He's really optimistic already. Or else he's realistic. He doesn't think money's going to open it. He doesn't think that's going to work. Well, they always say there's a lot of things money can buy us. A lot of people try thinking money can bring a lot of happiness and purpose in life. So, Guy, you don't think it's going to work. It buys misery. You must have been reading Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So let's see. Let's try this. Put it in. Nope. Money didn't work either. Despite what the world teaches us, despite what many people say, money is not the key to a life of meaning and purpose. It can buy a lot of things, but there are certain things it cannot buy. It can buy us a dream vacation. It can buy us a new car. It can buy us a home. It can buy us clothing. It can buy us a lot of things that the world tells us we need, and some of them things we do need, some of the things we just want and desire, and it can buy and provide for us, but does that really bring about happiness? Now, before you tune me out and say, oh, he's going to talk about money, and that's all preachers ever do is talk about money, I don't talk about money that much. I don't like to, okay? And if we believe in all of Scripture, which we do, right, then we have to address what Scripture talks about. And did you realize that Jesus talked more about money than he did anything else? And because Jesus said where our treasure is, remember the rest of it, where our treasure is, our heart is as well. We're going to discover that money doesn't bring meaning and purpose, but before we get the wrong idea, Solomon is not saying that it's not wrong to have money. It's okay to have money. In fact, if God blesses you with a lot of money, be thankful. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not wrong with having money or wealth. That's not what we're going to be addressing here. Wealth and money is nothing wrong with that. But the Bible does say it's not money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. It's when we seek to pursue and look to money as our main pursuit for happiness and what we need and build our life on having to have more and acquiring more. That's what becomes wrong. It's not money itself that is particularly wrong. But money didn't open the door either. It didn't work. The issue is not whether we have money or don't, but it's whether money has us. What is our master? Jesus said we cannot serve two masters at the same time. He said we can't serve him and money or anything else. That if anything else becomes more important in our life than him, then that becomes a form of idolatry. So Solomon said there are many things that money can buy. But this morning, as we come to chapter 5, and as Ray read that for us, and we come to the end of this chapter, we're going to discover that there's three things that Solomon says that money cannot buy. And because of that, it doesn't bring meaning and purpose. That if we look to wealth, and we look to what we can acquire through money as a means of finding a meaningful, purposeful life, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be let down. Because there's certain things that money can't buy for us. The first one is, it can't buy contentment. Yeah, and here's a picture of Ebenezer Scrooge. Everybody remember Ebenezer Scrooge? He had all the money that he could ever possibly acquire, but was he happy? He was a miserable guy until his life was changed. But it can't buy contentment. Notice what he says in verse 10 again. Whoever loves money, again, notice the word loves, not has, but loves. Whoever loves money never has money enough. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. And Solomon said, this too is meaningless, or this too is vanity. It's not wrong having it, but it's, does it have you? He said, it's loving wealth. Loving money. And he said, when we do that, when that's what we are seeking and pursuing, he said, we're not going to ever have enough. It doesn't buy contentment, because nothing is ever enough. We always feel like we need to have more. Someone asked the great billionaire Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, one time, how much money he wanted. You know what his answer was? Just a little bit more. You must have knew that. You must have heard that quote before. Just a little bit more. That's what he said. He was never content with what he had. And that's the problem. Things of the world and wealth doesn't bring us contentment. Only Jesus can do that. Because the more we have, the more we want, right? And whatever we have is not enough. And so we can't find contentment through material things, through the money that we have. It's not going to buy contentment. It's not going to buy that feeling of inner satisfaction. They're always going to be looking for something more. That void is always going to be empty there. Because only Jesus can fill it. Nothing is ever enough, and nothing ever satisfies. Because we always want to have something better than what we have now. Look at it at Christmas time when you give your children or your grandkids the gifts at Christmas. You know, and they open them up and they're all excited and they tear into the package. But what happens after a couple hours or a day or two? They throw that toy away and they're on to something else. This isn't good enough anymore. Just recently, I was walking through the store Best Buy, and I like to just browse through the store Best Buy because I like to look at electronic stuff. And I was walking through that store, and right away when you walk in there, the people come up to you. They want to sell you something. And lots of times I'm not there just for that. But I walked through and I was just amazed at all the new things that they keep trying to come up with. Now it's not good enough anymore for you and for me to have a big screen HDTV. You know that? That's not good enough anymore, because now you have to have the Ultra HDTV. And the Ultra HDTV isn't good enough either, because now you've got to have the 4K Ultra HDTV. And it's all keeping design, because to make you and me not happy and content with what we've got, that we always have to have something more, something better, because within us all, if we admit it, is a selfishness desire that we need to have something better. And things, money, won't bring that contentment. Only Jesus can do that. So money can't buy contentment, Solomon says. Whoever has it or loves money, pursues it, longs for it, has a passion for it, he said, just going to continue to want more and get to that point. Nothing wrong with wealth. Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of it and keeping it in perspective. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and listen to what Paul said to his young son in the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. And I put the words up here for you as well. That true godliness and contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. God says, we need to get to that point where we're thankful for what we have. If we have food, if we have clothing, his eye is on the sparrow, right? If he takes care of the sparrow, he'll take care of us. And just to be content with what it is that he provides for us. And to be thankful. And turn to Philippians chapter 4. And notice what, listen to what the Apostle Paul had learned in his life. And he had learned this through his walk with God. Over his years. As his desire was to know God better and more passionately. In his walk with God, he had learned this. In chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, he said, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. For I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. But I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. For I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And Paul said, I learned through the Lord and through his strength to be content, to be happy, to be content and thankful for whatever it is I have, whether I have little or I have a lot, but to be thankful for him, thankful for it. Looking to and pursuing money alone as a source of happiness and meaning is going to leave us empty, because it can't buy contentment. Second thing he said that money can't buy is the chapters that can't buy peace. Money can't buy inner peace or security. As long, though people think that the more money they have, the more secure they may be, Solomon tells us here in Ecclesiastes that it truly can't bring us peace, because it keeps us from getting rest. Notice what he says in verses 11 and 12. He says, as goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? And the sleep of the laborer is sweet, whoever, whether he has little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. Solomon says, those that pursue wealth and pursue a lot of money and make that their life ambition and goal is to acquire a lot for themselves, he said, they're not going to have peace. They're not going to find rest, because the more we have, the more others want. He said in verse 11 that as goods increase, so do those who consume them. Did you ever hear about a person who all of a sudden comes into a lot of money? Maybe they win a sweepstakes or something. They come into a whole lot of money. And once they do, and someone comes into a lot of money, what happens? All of a sudden, everybody wants to be their friend, don't they? And all these people want to start being around them, not because of who they are, they really care about them, but they think of, maybe I can get something from that person. And that's what Solomon said. He said, I've discovered that in life. And he said, that too is meaningless, because The more we have, the more others want. And the more we have, the more we worry. He says here that the sleep of a laborer is sweet, but whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich man permits him no sleep. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 33, the scripture that we read earlier, to look to the flowers of the field, they neither toil nor spin, but yet your Father cares for them. He said, why do you worry about what you should eat or what you should drink or should wear? Your Heavenly Father knows you need them, and He'll take care of that and provide for you. So don't worry. Picture here of Scrooge is guarding his money, and he has all this, and people that have all this wealth and abundance, they have to get fire security and to make sure that no one breaks in to steal their money, and they can't rest, and they're worried about whether they'll lose a lot in the when the stock market goes down. And they can't truly find peace because they're trusting in their wealth. It can keep us from getting rest, but can also cause us inward pain. And Guy, you had said that it can lead to misery. Notice what he says in verse 13 and 14. He said, I've seen a grievous evil under the sun, that wealth is hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth was lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Solomon said, another problem about trusting in our wealth and seeking that for meaning is that it can keep us, it causes us inward pain because we can hoard it like Scrooge did and get all this money and hoard it and not ever enjoy it, because there's people that live their life, they think God acquire all this, and they hoard and they hoard and they don't ever enjoy or spend what they have because they're afraid to. I heard recently about in 2002, you may have heard this story. There was a 62-year-old Frenchman, and this story is kind of humorous, but it's sad. In 2002, there was a 62-year-old man from France who was rushed to the emergency room in the hospital. The poor man was suffering from severe stomach pain. They didn't know why, so they took him to the hospital to have him checked out. And here when they got there and checked him out, they found out he had an enormously dense mass in his stomach. And it weighed 12 pounds. Now, right away, we would think cancer, right? It was so heavy that it forced his stomach down between his hips. That's how heavy and big this thing was. 5 days after his arrival, the doctors cut him open, and they removed his badly damaged stomach and his contents. But the man died a few days later from the complications that they had done in the surgery. Sad. But what's so astonishing about this man's story that he had swallowed. The doctor said that he was suffering from an illness that makes people want to eat money. He had swallowed them for over a decade of his life. And when he is invited to someone's house, he would steal coins and eat them. That's what he would do. Solomon says, when we hoard money, it can cause hurt. And there is an example. I mean, the guy was misguided, but there's an example. I mean, to his own detriment, that money can cause us inward pain when we hoard it, because here, hoarding it and don't even get to enjoy life because we're too worried about what happens if I spend too much. It can cause inner pain, inner turmoil within us. And there's a lot of people, unfortunately, live their life that way because they think that money is the key, and it's not. Or we can either hoard it, or the other extreme, Solomon says, is we can lose it. He said our wealth can be lost in some misfortune, and it can cause us pain that way as well, that we can have some kind of economic downturn or something can happen and cause us to lose our security. And he said, so if we look there, we're not going to find peace. We're not going to have peace. Money can't buy it. Peace can only be found in who? Jesus. And our security can only rest in him. Another reason it can't buy peace is Solomon says we'll leave it all behind. He says, naked, verse 15, naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry into his hand. And he said, this too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness with great frustration, affliction, and anger. And Solomon says, well, we're going to leave it all behind. As much as we acquire on this earth, we can't take it with us. Just the way we came into the world is the way we're going to depart. What we send ahead are the treasures that we build for the kingdom. And that's why Jesus said, don't lay for ourselves treasures on earth, but lay for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth does not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. It can't buy contentment. It can't buy peace. But Solomon said also, it can't buy joy. Third, it can't buy joy. And he says, then I realized what is that is good and proper for a man, verse 18, to eat and drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days that God has given him. Money can't buy joy because he, the Lord, enables us to enjoy each day. And Solomon said, what I discovered in life and I realized what's good and proper for us is to eat and drink and find satisfaction in every day that God gives us. Because he said, that's the key. The Lord brings contentment. The Lord brings peace. So enjoy each day that he gives you to the fullest. Enjoy whatever it is he blesses you. If he blesses you with a lot, give thanks. If he doesn't bless you with a lot, still give thanks. And enjoy every day that he gives us. Because his eye is on the sparrow, his eye is on us, and he will give us this day what we need in it. And he gives us the ability to be thankful in it. Money can't buy joy. And I ask you, do you think, down deep, really in your heart, do you think that the Hollywood celebrities, with all their money, with all their fame, with all their wealth and all that they have, you think they're truly joyful? You think they have true peace and contentment in their heart? No, because their money can't buy that. Only the Lord can bring that. And that's where it lies. So he said, enjoy each day as he enables us to the fullest. And he also enables us to enjoy each blessing. Each blessing that we have. He says in verse 19 and 20, he says, moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions, enables him to enjoy them and to accept his lot and to be happy in his work. This is a gift of God. And he said, God enables us to enjoy whatever it is we have and be happy in our work and be happy with what we have received from him. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, who does not change like shifting shadows and sands. So he gives us the ability to enjoy every blessing that comes our way so that we're not discontented and always longing for something else or always wish we had more. But we can be thankful for what we have through him. Money is not the key to a life full of meaning, despite what many people in our world think. It can buy a lot of things, and we need it to survive in this world. But it cannot buy what we need most, and that's a life of meaning. It can't buy contentment, it can't buy peace, and it can't buy joy. Only Jesus can provide these. And our prayer needs to be, again, give us this day our daily bread. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us again this morning of putting things back in perspective. And the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us of that so much of what the world tells us gives meaning and purpose and happiness, it's not there. Lord, it's only in you. And we thank you for what we have. And Lord, we need money to survive in this world. But it comes from you. And all that we have, Lord, comes from you. And help us, Lord, to realize that you, and seeking first you and your kingdom and your righteousness, everything else that we need will be given to us as well. Lord, give us a contented heart. And Lord, we live in a world that preys on trying to make us discontented. When we turn on the TV and the advertisements are designed to make us not be content with what we have, making us think we need to buy the latest thing. But Lord, contentment comes through you. And we thank you for that peace that you give us, and to be thankful for whether well-fed or whether in want. We know that you are our good shepherd, and because you are our good shepherd, we shall not be in want, but you lead us down by the green pastures, and you restore our soul, and you provide for us what we need. So in that we can rest secure, and that we can find peace. And there's times, Lord, when we are worried and we get anxious about whether there'll be enough money to cover the end of the month and the bills that are coming due. We can trust in you and rely on your provision because you are faithful. So Lord, give us each day our daily bread and the peace and contentment that only you can bring, and it can only be found in you. And in that, to enjoy what it is that we have and live life to the fullest, giving thanks because only you can bring true joy within our life. So thank you, Lord, for a life through you that has meaning and purpose. And Lord, I ask your blessing on each of us this week as we walk in you and rejoice in your provision and your grace, trusting you for each and every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.